Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you and welcome to Words from the Word. Not like clearing out a room. Okay. How are you this morning, this December snowy morning? You know that Overseer is overjoyed with winter wonderland that I do today. I am grateful to God and I am thankful to see another snow. So it's such a blessing. And I am always happy when it's snowing. So I am excited as well to get to this lesson today because there is a lot of jewels, there's a lot of treasures to unpack from this ending summary that Paul Karam is presenting to us. Now, we're looking at turning the curse into a blessing. And so as we have journeyed through the book of Job, we end up at the end with summaries that the author has done as it relates to certain the process, the meaning of the process, the perspective. A lot of our behavior patterns are now being examined and seen from the perspective of heaven. We're starting basically on page 49. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're starting on page 49, more or less. And the author has a list of things that he wants us to consider in the It's Not Fair, facing the problem of It's Not Fair. And so I do want to read down the list. And if one strikes you, just, you know, you all are on a speaker, just jump right in there. He also gives a rather blurb, if you will, on each one of the things complaining reveals about our position, about our relationship, about our journey through the trial. So he says that we should realize it's not fair is actually an attack against the Lord, the provider, the shepherd of our souls. It is an attack against the names of God, even that we have embraced. So if he is your banner, he is your healer, he's your deliverer, all of the Jehovah Jireh, all of the names that God has proven himself to be in our life, when we say it's not fair, it negates that. It is actually attacking a name of God. Now, we would personally and outwardly say, oh, I would never do that. Never, ever, 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 ever. Okay, we have the understanding of the sacred names of God, the powerful names of God that he is and that we need. And yet when we complain, we are attacking the provider, the shepherd, and you put your list of our souls. It is in effect saying that God is not there because we are finding out. We understand that everything has to go through him. It's like he has not taken care of me. He is insensitive to my needs. God is hard and uncaring. God is partial. He has favors. He is good to some and unloving to others. God is irresponsible. Now, these are not words that we would say, but when we say God is not fair, this is heaven's perspective of our conversation, because it is not in line with the truth that God has revealed about himself and our circumstances and our situations and the promises that he has made to us. And so when we see things like God has favors, that there are some people that we feel he's blessed more than he's blessed other people. There are times where, you know, good things happen even to people that aren't good, you know, and we see it. And we have an attitude or a conversation or emotion as it relates to that. And so we're being enlightened now to know when those emotions or that attitude or that thought process is in any way out of harmony with who we know God to be and what his word says, then that's a red flag. You know, we want to stop or put a pin, you know, actually bend our knee to it so that we can repent of it and not allow any word or imagination to rise up, because it's just a tiny seed of emotion that can fester and then start to transform our response to God and the things in our life. These complaints reveal unresolved problems in our hearts. And, you know, they show that we are not viewing life from scriptural perspective. And that is the key. We're not looking at things through the scripture. We are looking at things through the eye of man, which is, you know, when I read that, I realized that, you know, we walk by faith. In other words, we can't see through our natural eyes the journey that we are taking, and it makes sense. That's the key, and it makes sense, not in our natural eyes, which is why we are called a peculiar people, because we do these things that are peculiar to other people. We are different, because when you have a scriptural perspective of life, first of all, you're not going to be popular. You're not going to be the kind of person that most people want to hang out with. You're not going to... one second. I want to make sure the computer doesn't turn off. Over here, it has some really exciting irritations this week. All right, so we plug it in and we're good to go. So we want to realize that because we're not having the scriptural perspective, that we are then out of line with God. And if we are not walking with him, then we are enemy. We are enemy of God. Those things that are in us that must come out, and they must come out, he's going to have to perfect us. And in that process, he says, for great blessings, much pain is often has to be experienced. And so that brings us to these places of how we view our suffering. When a Christian constantly laments of injustices, it shows that we're not walking in victory. If something is unjust, these complaints are the very reason we have not found favor with God. God wants to perfect in us an excellent spirit, and here's the word, of thankfulness. And so there's so many perspectives we can come through or come from, you know, come from the right, left, up, down, inside, out, whatever, from different angles, you can see a thing. But if you see this thing spiritually and scripturally, perspective of this. It's going to bring us to a spirit of thankfulness. Thankfulness gets us favor. Thankfulness gets us the blessings of God that satisfies our souls and bring joy to our hearts, no matter what, because we're thankful for the many things you have that are negative in your life. You have infinitely more that are a blessing. And so when we are focused on those few things that are out of line, then we have discounted all of the many blessings that have been poured out upon us from God, and we have not been thankful for them. And we could say, you know, yeah, I'm thankful for that, but there's no but in thankfulness. I'm just thankful. So thankful brings up a certain level of humility in our lives. It starts to produce these virtues that are necessary for us to be transformed into Christ-likeness. And so this thankfulness, and in all things give thanks. It says in all things give thanks. And give thanks because of the many bountiful blessings that are poured out upon us. And as we're giving thanks, more blessings are coming. As we are giving thanks for those things that we are experiencing, or even for those things that we have experienced, in giving thanks, then we get God's attention, and God is perfecting the spirit of thankfulness, and we will, and it's guaranteed, you will find favor with God. You will find favor with God. So we looking at the fact that complaining reveals the following things. And as I said, it's a list, and I'll read the list, and then we'll go through some of the topics on the list, because he gives little blurbs, if you will, about each one, that gratitude is missing. So when we complain, gratitude is missing. Rather than thanking God for a multitude of good tidings and things, the complainer focuses only on those things he or she still wants. And they're focused on these things that they want because they're looking at, looking out the eyes of flesh. They're not looking from a scriptural perspective. So, looking at the lack of gratitude for the many things that we, excuse me, that we do have, there are, excuse me, this is a quite a thing to say to God that God, you know, the one woman was explaining to the author that he was not, that God had not given him a happy marriage. And so just some of the conversation that we have as we express our emotions, if we look at them more intently, we are blaming God for them. We're blaming God for them. Our scripture says he daily loads us up with benefits. His mercies are new every morning. So in addition to all his blessings, God has not given us the punishment we deserve. Complaining is an attitude that says God owes me something. And we can stop right there. It is declaring ourselves more righteous than God. God owes me something. You know, I'm doing all this, and he has not done this, this, and this. But is the things that we are looking for him to do from a scriptural perspective, or is it from the perspective of just I want to say humanity, mankind, of the flesh, and not the negative flesh, just the humane portion of what we have been conditioned to believe that life is supposed to provide for us. In addition to this, complaining is an attitude that says God owes me something. He has not treated me fairly. Man forgets how much he owes God. Complaining shows the depth of man's unthankfulness. And so how much he owes us, and yet we've discounted how much he's paid, what all he has done. So as we complain about what we don't see or what we don't have or the way we think it ought to be, we are not remembering the fact that the wages of sin is death, and none of us had the money to pay for it, but God did. And so he doesn't owe us anything, and yet he has given us treasures that are beyond measure, but we do not value them because we're not looking at them through a scriptural perspective, a heavenly perspective, or an eternal perspective. We're looking at them temporally through a, human perspective. So that is the lack of gratitude is revealed when we complain. When we complain, contentment is absent. Joy is the result of being fully satisfied with God's presence, rather than having numerous material blessings. So it's this contentment is missing, and we are not satisfied with God. We need God and something else. When we're not contented, we want more. David was found the fullness of joy in God's presence. Can we be happy just with Jesus, or is our heart greatly attached to earthly things, a nice house, fancy clothes, or being successful, or even just some natural things? You know, is your heart overly attached to human love? One of the greatest reasons of unhappiness concerns the issue of human love. So often human love is idolatrous. When human love is worshipped, it never brings any joy because an idol has no life, so it can't give joy. Paul learned to be content. He learned it. David said, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He anticipated this contentment. He had it, and he anticipated continually forevermore because he had a scriptural perspective of his life. If we will allow God to reduce us to, and that's Psalms 27:4, we will find the same contentment and fulfillment that David and Paul discovered. I love it because Paul said, I have learned. So it's not going to come natural. We have to learn. And how we learn is to studying and to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. We learn through learning the word of God. We learn through studying and then allowing the word to come alive in us. We learn through choosing intentionally to do what the word says and not what the world says. And so this intentionalness of embracing the spiritual perspective that God wants us to see from, because remember, he said, come up hither. So we're in a different place. So we need to, now we can look down and see from a heavenly perspective the real deal. And when you see it from where we're sitting in heavenly places, then the value of things starts to shift from temporal to eternal, because then we understand, oh, this heaven and earth, you know, is going to be transformed, and what we see now is not going to be forever. But what is going to be forever are all those things that were revealed to us in the Word of God. So contentment is absent when we complain. When we complain, we are comparing ourselves with other people. Comparing is what God tells us not to do. Every time we do what God tells us not to do, we have trouble. And this we know. This is tried and true. And we don't need scripture to tell us this. We, our lives speak to this. Every time we do what God tells us not to do, we have trouble. Now, we will have trouble because the Bible says that we will. But the thing about this trouble is what we have brought upon ourselves. So now we have to be disciplined to one second, please, y'all. Okay. Okay. Can y'all hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Somebody say yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. So we're comparing ourselves to other people. We are comparing ourselves to the wrong thing. If we will stop comparing ourselves with others, we will save ourselves a lot of grief. Comparing is a major fault in man. We look at others and assume that we should have what they have. When we cannot have what others have, we call it unfair. And then we are angry. Perhaps if we had the same thing, it would not be good for us. Maybe it would even destroy us. The only one we should compare ourselves with is Christ, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. That's who we should compare ourselves to. That is our standard. That is our plumb line. That is the image that we are, the prize that we are obtaining to. This is who we are to compare. Nobody wants to compare themselves to Jesus because they always say, oh, well, I ain't Christ. You know, Christ did this, he did that, he suffered, he prayed for those, you know, who were crucifying him. He forgave people. He, you know, he healed, you know, and he even had mercy on his enemies and all those things. And we'll say, yeah, but, and then that but is again. There is no but with a spiritual perspective. There is no. It's that. And that's it. And we are so, entitled-mindedly thinking about things that we feel the but is because we're entitled to something else. And we need to just keep in the forefront of our minds our greatest entitlement is hell because the wages of sin is death. And that's what we are entitled to. That's what we earned. Now, we are redeemed. We are justified. We are saved. We are pulled from that place. But we're pulled from that place from a scriptural perspective. So if we want to get pulled from that place from a spiritual perspective, but then we want, after we're pulled from that place of death, now I want to live the life of death. Because that's what we're saying when we compare ourselves to other people. when we're not contented with what the scripture gives us, when we lack gratitude for the things that brought us to this place of eternal hope. There's an eternal hope that we have, but we are comparing ourselves to people and things and cultural standards. We're comparing ourselves to the end, not the end time, but the today time of what's important, what has value, what is treasured, what is desired. So we look at that. When we look at the things that have become standards over the life of, I'll just say myself, 70-some years, there was one standard when I was 10. That standard no longer exists. There was a different standard when I was 15. That standard no longer exists. So these standards through life change, but the one standard that never changed was Christ, was the scriptural perspective never changed. What it did was it grew exponentially. It got bigger and bigger and bigger and clearer and clearer and clearer the more we surrendered to it, the more of it we saw and we were able to embrace. But there are so many things that we did in the 50s that people don't even have a clue of in the 90s. Things that happened in the 90s that people that's in the 2020 now time, they don't have a clue about it. They look at you like you're crazy. There are words that mean one thing then, it means something totally different now, okay? Because the standard changed, the plumb line changed, the root of the resources changed. You know, sometimes they change with the political climate, or they may change with the actual physical climate. They change with the climate of the technology, technology climate, or whatever. Okay, so with different aspects, you know, they have changed with even the structure of relationships and the meaning of family and the structure of family. They've changed. The structure of education has changed. These things have changed. But the one thing that has not changed, that has always maintained its position, is the scriptural perspective. So it is something that we need to compare and embrace. Now, complaining is a criticism of God and his wisdom. So now we are criticizing God, and then we are criticizing his wisdom. The redeemed as well as the unredeemed criticize God. Man complains constantly of the way God has fashioned him, led him, provided for him, and permitted circumstances to come into his life. The Israelites were ever guilty of this. Because of it, they found no favor with God. They never partook of what God had planned for their lives. When we hurry God, we are criticizing him. Lord, you sure take your time. It is foolishness to criticize God for the way he fashioned us. God made me exactly as we are for a purpose. God uses physical flaws to develop special graces and a special message in our lives. God can remove a problem when it ceases to serve a divine purpose. So complaining is criticism of God and his wisdom. I'm too short. I wish I was tall. A simple thing. A simple thing. But it is a criticism. God created you. You are who he created you to be. So you're saying, well, he should have done better and made me taller. I never want to be tall, though. He was good. I loved his wisdom. But there are just things that sometimes we have been saying unknowingly. We were criticizing God. But it's at this point, in this season, he wants us to understand that. So now we can shift. And we may say, oh, Lord, what I've been doing, oh, what, you know, woe is me. And that's what the king said, you know, oh, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, you know, and he understood, oh, my God, what I've been doing. But God is saying, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I have come to forgive you, to teach you, to heal you, to perfect those things concerning you, to do all the things that you're going to need. And so it's okay. He knows we did that. He knows. But now he wants us to understand what it looks like to him. We wanted him to understand what it looked like to us. So we were trying to give him some information that we felt he needed to know. And he said, well, now let me help you grow. Okay, here's some information that you need, okay, because you've been summoned to come up hither, because you've been summoned to be my sons and my daughters. Then I need you to understand your conversation has to change. So there are things that you used to say you can't say anymore. And I'm not just talking about the bad words, okay? I'm not just talking about the negative things you may point out in people's lives. But it is a conversation that needs to change to see a God's eye perspective of that person or of that situation, to seek a spiritual perspective, a scriptural, not spiritual, scriptural perspective of what's going on, and if not having it, waiting on it. Understanding the value of it will keep us from doing some things, and the author shares that with us later on in this lesson. So we are not viewing life from God's perspective. We complain when we do not understand his ways. Continually complaining about injustices is evident that we do not understand God's ways. When we do understand, we will appreciate the truth that adversity is working for my benefit. Trouble is my servant. Okay, and he points out Joseph's life, full of what we would call injustices, but Joseph views them as the path to the throne. He views them as the path to deliver his people in a time of famine. We're not viewing life from God's perspective. We complain because we don't understand his ways. So as we have gone through the sevenfold function of the Holy Spirit, and one of the things is understanding. We've been given the virtues and the fruit that we need, the truths that we need, so that all of these things now will be, we overcome them. We overcome them with the truth of Scripture. And the truth of Scripture is understand his ways. That's what one of the lessons before said, that when we get to a certain place and it's just not, we don't know what to do. It's just beyond us. then the prayer should be, Lord, let me understand your ways. In this situation, you know, I want an understanding. Holy Spirit gives us that understanding, wisdom, that counsel, that knowledge. This is the information that we must embrace. It's not information, but these are the virtues, and it's almost like a living thing that we have to embrace in order to avoid these stumbling blocks and pitfalls that come to us from a higher plane. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and rulers of high places. So we are at a place now where these powers and principalities and these rulers in high places want to conquer us through our own conversation, through our own words, through what is in our hearts. And God wants to reveal what is in our hearts so that we can be delivered. Amen. Let me see what this is. Amen. Oftentimes, one of the things that our complaint comes as redeemed people is because salvation is not meeting our expectations. Our interpretation of God's promises daily is what is due to all good people. So there are some promises that are daily due to all good people. I'm special. All of these are things that when we viewed salvation, these were some of our more immature thoughts. Not that we're not special. Not that we're not good. We're godly. We're in Christ. Daily is what I do. We pray daily for what we need, and his promises will secure them for us. But this salvation is not meeting, you know, you get saved and there you're good. You're good to go. Okay? No, you become, and you really are good to go. But you become a part of a relationship and a kingdom that has different rules from the one that you are used to. And that's what's going to make us peculiar. Complaining also shows conformed to Christ's image is secondary. That is not your first desire, is not to be conformed to Christ's image. The man whose goal is to be conformed to Christ's image has a God-given wisdom. He discerns the hidden hand of God in the difficulties and the irritations in life. You can see God in it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And it's seeing God in all those things that are looking chaotic to us. But he has a plan and a purpose. He, the person that is conformed to Christ understands that God has a purpose of consider for every day. Therefore, rather than complaining about trouble, he gives thanks. On the other hand, the people who are uncommitted and looking for an easy life constantly complain about their circumstances. They cannot see any benefit at all that would result from adversity. They cannot see. That's why we must walk by faith. It is not for us to see, but it is for us to believe, understand, and know that Christ, God said that it's through these things that we are perfected. It's through these things that these virtues that are like Christ-like will be established in our hearts and in our minds. And so the seventh thing is complaining means that our wills are blocked. Complaining is an attack against God. Complaining diminishes all our faith and all our joy. Complaining means We are not giving thanks, and there is no song in our heart to God. Unbelief and complaining go hand in hand. Complaining is something God hates. He hates it. I'm sorry? Complaining means, well, it's a long definition, but, pardon? Did I just say it? Okay, complaining is an attack against God. I'm getting questions over here. Complaining, and they're asking me to redefine complaining. Complaining diminishes all our faith and all our joy. And complaining means that we are not giving thanks and there is no song in our heart about the Lord. That's the part that broke my heart. Because I realized that when I complain, then I'm not, it's that my song says with every breath I have, I will sing praises to God, the goodness of God. And it's like, so if I'm complaining, I am not singing to God. I'm an enemy to him because I'm attacking what he is doing in my life. And so when this well of is the place that we go to, and that's W-E-L-L, okay? A place where you go to get water, to get the very thing you need to live, to get your refreshing, to get the thing that sustains you. You go to the well and you draw water from this well, this living well. But think of just a regular natural well. Well, complaining is us going to this well and throwing in the well, okay, the image of our idol, the things that we value, the things that we think are important, and then we want to get refreshed. Well, we can't. We're blocking the water with our idols, with our thoughts, with our wrong concepts, with our complaining, with our with our comparing others. You go to the well of refreshing, but you go there wanting to be like somebody else. I will never forget when God showed me, and you do, you see people and you go, oh, wow, I wish, everything is perfect and neat and, life is just everything, just, that you see is wonderful. And I used to want that. And, I don't know, I was really young. But what he showed me was, he said, but what if in what you see now, no, in what you see is not all of who they are. Suppose their body's riddled with cancer. You want that too? Suppose their end is like the next second. You want that too? Do you want everything? There's so many things that could be involved in someone else's life that we're looking and we're admiring, but yet there are so many things that we don't even know that may be a part of that person's life. That person could be a horrible person. And you talking about, I want to be like them because they look like something or got something or done something or whatever. And so we don't even have a concept of, I love this, we don't even have a concept of the perfect thing to want for ourselves. We don't even have a concept because we don't know. We don't know what's perfect for me. The only person that knows that is God. And he is committed in a covenant relationship to us to do that. And so this the complaining, it diminishes your faith. If you're complaining, you're not trusting God for something. If you're complaining, your joy is going to be gone. You are not content and satisfied with God's presence because you're complaining. Complaining means that we are not giving thanks and there is no song in our heart. He deserves a song from our heart. He deserves a song from our hearts. And the scriptural perspective gives us that. So Overseer has been talking. We want to give you opportunity to share. We've gone down the seven things complaining reveals, and we must understand that God has allowed the lingering problems in our life is meant. If he has allowed it, it means we need it. He is trying to show us something or accomplish something. When the issue God is addressing is corrected or adjusted, he will then remove the thorn. Remember, God left a problem in David's life, and that was Saul, and he also left a problem in Paul's life. But he used it to bring about a greater good. So, in your studying, in your the lines are open.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
You know, I'm with you on all of them, but the only one that I'm questioning, maybe questioning might be the wrong word, but I don't really understand how they're linking complaining necessarily to unbelief. I can see how it could be, but I certainly feel you can be complaining. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that, you know, a believer in complaining, that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't believe. And maybe I'm saying that from personal. Well, I know there have been things that I've complained of. Certainly wasn't that I didn't believe. I think it was just my own selfish nature that was having a hard time accepting whatever the reality was at that moment. But it was never a lack. It was never a lack of belief. It was just, I guess, more a lack of understanding. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the same thing in different words. I mean, I certainly get the whole idea that it can be looked at as a lack of gratitude, because certain things happen and you certainly don't feel like you're grateful that certain things happen, or a lack of contentment, you know, where you might be anxious or there's no peace in whatever the circumstance is. But I don't know how that could just be linked hand in hand with not believing. Does
that
make sense?
Yes. Yeah, I think understanding and lack of belief go hand in hand, because if we, you know, the word tells us, if we believe what the word is saying and what it tells us about things, then you know, as far as God's hand in our life, then we have to learn to accept what God is allowing to come our way, as well as look at what hand we had in it in some situations. So I can see where the writer put those two together, because if you're complaining, then you're not accepting that God has the total control over your life, you know, and what's coming in it, what he's allowing to, and what he has allowed to cross your path. And looking at it and seeing that the God has allowed it, or like, I don't like when people say, "Well, God took such and such a person." I don't like, you know, when they use that terminology, that he took. Because a lot of people, you know, it causes them grief and confusion. Why would he take and stuff like that? But I can see where the writer is using complaining and unbelief in the same manner, because when you complain, then that there is something somewhere that we didn't believe God's word, believe what, you know, his word said about, you know, different situations and different and his hand in our life. So that's how I looked at it.
And I looked at it as the complaint, the more I looked at the complaining part is, he always says, in the word and scriptures to follow, is that complaining about any of our circumstances is a sin, because we don't give God a chance to do what he wants to do. And he also showed me with different Bible verses that, and I'm not going to go into them, but complaining is just like grumbling about something, and the root cause of complaining comes from the root of bitterness. And when I read that as you were speaking, it said that is so deep within your core that you are blinded when it creeps up on you. Mm-hmm. And bitterness causes a root of a lot of everything. So if you can maybe that with that grumbling, complaining, and that bitter spirit become a root of bitterness, that those roots that we have to tear down. So that's why I'm seeing it a different way, but I just know that that's what he was showing me, that I had so much bitterness and anger and hurt and pride and those things. When I started working with those words, I saw the truth of what the Holy Spirit was saying.
Amen.
Then, like you said, we do not understand his ways. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand his ways. And the writer, you know, brought that out. We don't understand his ways. And so ultimately, you know, that brings about complaining, but then we have to get a grip on ourselves and say, well, I'm not going to complain because God has already said such and such and such, because he knows our beginning and our ending. So, therefore, we have to try to catch ourselves when we start complaining and just ask him to help us to, or show us, to help us understand, you know, what's going on with whatever is happening in our life or our loved one's life, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not really, when I say unbelief, I'm thinking unbelief versus acceptance. To me, it's like God gives us a place to lament. So when we're going through, because he knows that we're emotional, that he knows that we're fragile. But all I'm saying is when we're in that state, I don't personally connect that with necessarily a state of unbelief. Sometimes we can be so hurt, like you said, Elder, that we already know that his ways are higher than our ways, and we know that God is sovereign. So, and that all things will work together. But in the midst of going through, I feel that he gives us space, allows us space to be authentic and transparent in our emotions, and that in and of itself starts to reveal to us when we come to the end of ourselves. And I don't think this is a you have to do this every time, but certain things can be overwhelming. And when you come to the end of yourselves because you believe, then the Holy Spirit can convict and reveal and challenge you that, okay, what you're feeling is normal, but that's not God's way. And this is the way that I'm doing it or the way that I want to do it. But, I feel like he gives us this space, and this may sound like a crazy example, but, you know, I can tell you that in one situation with a loved one, a really, really, really beloved friend of mine, and when she hadn't passed away yet, but she was in the process, and same kind of thing where I'm like, Lord, this is not fair, blah, 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 for whatever, all the reasons that I felt like it wasn't fair, you know. It wasn't like I didn't believe God, you know, because it's like I wouldn't even be having the conversation with him if I didn't believe there was something that he couldn't do and work on my behalf. I just hadn't come to the acceptance that this was going to be what he was going to do, even though he indicated at one point, I mean, I put it this way, I felt like he cradled me for about 3 days until my brain could accept the whole fact that this is what was going to happen. And Negro, you better get in line because it's going to happen one way or the other. This ain't against you. This ain't against them. This is just my will. And, you know, and I certainly understand that. And, I'm grateful for the life and all of those kinds of things. But in that process, I didn't feel that this was unbelief to God. It was like I just couldn't understand and couldn't accept. It wasn't unbelief. It was like, Lord, I'm coming to you because I need the God of all comfort right now, you know.
Right.
And at
one point. I think that, hold on 1 second, because I think you're putting the unbelief in the wrong area. It wasn't that you didn't believe God. You didn't believe what was happening was the best thing. That's where you didn't believe that.
Right.
You didn't
see,
you know, so that's where the unbelief was. It's not that we don't believe God. We just don't believe that's the best thing to happen. Well, if we believe that's not the best thing to happen, then we don't believe God's doing the best thing. Hello. So it leads to that. Uh-huh.
But is that a complaint? Is that a complaint, overseer, against God until we get to the point of acceptance? You know, I mean, I guess that's where.
No, I think again, you said it. It's a process. We have all went down this road here, all of us, and it was a process. And we're learning now. I venture to say, I believe. Okay. That will never happen to you again because he has showed you something else. And because he showed you more of himself, you will understand how to manage your emotions to mirror what Christ would do. And so now he's given us even more weapons of warfare against that which is devastating in our lives, those circumstances, and those situations. And so now we have this knowledge that he's given us. Then he's going to give you an understanding of the knowledge and then a wisdom of how to use that understanding and that knowledge. And so I believe that's why the enemy wants you to think you don't believe God. No, I believe God. That's not the problem. The problem is I don't believe this is the best thing, and this is out of my eyes for me for this to happen to that person. I don't
believe
that.
Right, that was very true. But I felt like I had the place to be able to tell God that. I mean, not like I'm challenging God, but just that God loves me, and look, Lord, like my father, I need to tell you where I'm at, and then I'm waiting for you to be that bomb for me, because I know that you don't make mistakes. I mean, it was,
absolutely.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it was
no,
all
it
like
does.
World together. You know.
No, but it makes total sense. It makes
Elder,
sense.
Deborah, this Pastor Rogers, first of all. The people on my job used to say I nitpick and I complain. But when you hear God's voice and he tells you to do something, he's going to win at the end. Our belt at the hospital was broken. And I went, and every time I sit down, the Lord said, get up and make rounds. And I was like, where do I go? But the Holy Spirit led me to the engineer's office. And I told him, could you open, you know, you have those ceilings that you can remove. Yeah. The belt was broken. Now our hospital is right there at the side of a expressway. So all those ventilations was coming in the hospital, gas fumes. And then in the meeting, the ones that told me I was complaining, Miss Dickens, how did you manage to go look there for something to be wrong? The same way with on the docks. Even though my experience by what people call nitpicking, fault finding, complaining, those were the three. I learned to hear God's voice. So when he told me to do something, as Overseer just said, I'm even learning more because it's clearer. And I can say, I know I hear his voice. So now, if somebody mentioned murmuring, I think it was Minister Pat, murmuring is heavy because when you start murmuring, that's when I believe it's unbelief. Murmuring is you spreading what you don't think is right, and I learned it ain't about me. So when you know God said something, you do what God said. We think about Joshua. He knew something was wrong in his camp, but he went back to God. So when we feel something is not right, we go to our leader or God for explanation. And I was known as a fault finder, complainer, and nitpicking because God would send me places that I didn't know where I was going. So they say, are you and scrutinizer. Those were the names that I was given. But he
didn't. Okay.
But I learned to hear his voice. So even though one thing I just heard, we know when we complain.
Yeah.
So you know the difference. He said you'll know the difference when you complain.
Amen.
So we just trust God.
Yes. I think Evangelist Narvella was saying something. Thank you.
Yeah.
What were you sharing with us?
Yeah. I'm just listening.
Okay.
It's not. It's not the fact that believe it's fact. Never heard of what. I think it kind of amazes us when it come hit on you like that. You got the back minister. What?
Okay. Absolutely. Wonderful.
Shake your head a little bit and stand back and say, no way, I'm going to stand right here. I ain't moving. I ain't going to move. I'll get this straight.
All right. Amen. Wonderful dialogue, wonderful lesson. We're at page 51 now. It seems like we're slowing down. But I think it's a lot, so I didn't want to rush through it. Good dialogue. This is the weekend for the AEN, LFC, LFM, and all things LF, whatever. Fellowship lunch and year-end gathering tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the church. I think it's 1 to 3. And I hope we see everybody there. It's virtual as well. I don't know the virtual information. So I look at your emails, and it's in your emails. Elder Sharita sent it out. So I pray that everybody has a blessed snow day. and
how much
tomorrow.
Snow y'all got?
Oh, we got about an inch. It ain't much.
Oh,
you know
I thought
me.
It was 5 or 6. You know, we love a lot of snow.
No, I
it's
think
snowing
I can
down
get.
Here.
Yeah.
It was?
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely snow. I mean, yeah, it's snowing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
things
oh,
are
wow.
covered. But it's not like an inch or anything, but, you know, steady coming down.
Yeah,
oh,
steady coming down. That's the part
you know what, Elder Deborah, I just look back at the complaining reveals, the following review, and I think it seems like the writer was, you know, we could take it when we read those areas that it's certain events. You know, when he was talking about complaining, means our will, like he was basing it up on, or it appears that it was based upon the scripture, be content in the circumstances that we're in. I may not be quoting it right, but you know how sometimes we don't be content. Instead of giving God thanks, we complain. So it appears when I read back over that you know, those are certain areas where we can really see when complaining takes place.
Mm-hmm.
That little area there. But I
that's why,
you know, what you're saying,
know.
Because it came to my mind when I went through, you know, different deaths in my life. And I was saying, well, you know, I said to the Lord, you know, well, why do I have to keep going through these deaths? You know.
That's questioning God.
Because, you know, I'm saying, you know, why I have to keep, you know, and it started early in my life, you know. But it just came to my mind.
But you did what he wants us to do. You asked him.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You acknowledge that he had the answer, and you asked him. And that's all he's asking us to do, is to use the relationship that he has desired to have with us as the help and the hope of our life in all circumstances,
mm-hmm.
situations, no matter what. He's there, and you can use it. And the church sang that song. Whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
he's there and he can do it. He will do it. He has done it, you know. And so I
right.
think that just making us aware of another level of our trust and our hope and of our sight, literally our spiritual sight, is causing our faith to grow.
Right, but even in the midst, in the midst of it, I still gave him thanks for the time that,
right.
you know, he gave me. With
oh, yeah,
him.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
yeah.
I think, you know, these lessons that we learn just in every situation in our life, you know, just, what is it? Continually developed our relationship with him and
yeah.
our growth and growing where he desires us to be in our relationship with him. And not just with him, but our fellow sisters and brothers that we can be strength and help to one another.
Absolutely. Which is why we do these things, so that we are empowered by the word to share. That's was the theme for this year, for the AEN to do it and tell others who are mature to do and teach what we've been taught and to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I think is amazing, tonight, I believe it's at 8 o'clock, is the study on grief by mm-hmm. the brothers in the ministry. It's a very powerful study. And so check your emails. Your monthly service announcement so that you can tune in. It was very powerful mm-hmm. last week. I think that it's very helpful. And just as not just only us that grieve, but for those that minister to individuals that are suffering a mm-hmm. loss, it is extremely, mm-hmm. extremely valuable information that we want to have. I encourage you to sign in to, like I say, it's in the email, so excuse me. I believe
I invite some people, and they said that they really enjoyed it. It was very informative to them, and they were glad that I, you know, invited them and sent them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was glad I remembered to sign in. I was a little late, but I got it.
Glad you reminded me.
I encourage you to do so. Yep.
I haven't been in my email for a couple.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right then. All right. I pray everybody's worship will be wonderful.
Yes.
Okay. We need
to have a blessed day, everybody.
Absolutely. Everybody enjoy the snow day. Okay. Awesome.
Love God bless you guys.
The ministry.
Love you all.
Yes.
Love you all. Also.
Amen.
We got some snow over here too.
Amen.
I like to share with everybody. Okay. Sometimes y'all don't want.
I know.
I do. I want everybody to experience the beauty of the snow. Because
I love it too, but I just don't love it.
When I found out snow was in the Bible, I can't tell you how happy I was. Years and years and years ago, but I didn't think snow would be in the Bible. When I saw it in the Bible, I went, yes! Okay.
Yes.
I'll let it go. All right. Love you guys.
All right.
Okay,
love
bye-bye.
You all.
Love you, and I love Blog Talk.
Amen.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Later.
Later.
It's my Bible class.